And now, back from New York with no facial bruises, Cody Tapp.
Right you are, Curtis. Right you are. Cody Tapp in the program, filling in for Sorin Petro all week long. Except for Thursday. None of us are going to be here on Thursday. It'll be best of, and we'll just enjoy.
And yesterday, which was already here.
Yep, but my week. It's a fiscal week. I operate only on the times that I'm in town. I was not in town for the show yesterday, so for my week, I'm in all week. And the rest of the week, as in the 3 days of it. I all week might be a little generous, but here I am.
Okay,
and I was
not
punched on the streets of New York, which is more than I can say for the streets of Kansas City in the last month of my life. So I survived it. And we were leaving pretty late one of those nights. I'm still not quite
I
don't
there.
Know what the... Rob can probably remember closer to college or whatever, but the bounce back time in adulthood, it's not like you're hungover for a day and then the next day you're right. It's like 4 days later, finally, like some semblance of regular life comes back. And that's what happens, both just for the Chiefs grogginess and watching that game on Sunday, because I was obviously at MetLife Stadium, and then, you know, just general New York shenanigans. Those are the kind of things you can do, right? Somebody want to fly away with the station. We took a couple out, Mike and Katie, to New York and had a good time. Thought maybe we'd watch the Chiefs trounce the Giants. No. Nope. Watched a lot of really ugly football on both sides instead that culminated in that just arguably the worst loss in the regular season in Andy Reid's tenure as a Chiefs. The Titans one is certainly in the running.
And someone on Twitter reminded me, at Oakland, coming off the
winless
win over Seattle,
Raiders at that
the
point.
Winless Raiders.
Going to Oakland on a Thursday to an 0-10 team and just getting run over. I mean, they didn't get
That's
blown
fair.
Out by a large margin, but physically they were manhandled by a team that had not won a game. That's pretty bad.
And they weren't physically, the Chiefs game wasn't even that. It was just watching, two punchless fighters.
Yeah.
Through futility. I didn't walk out of there being like, boy, the Giants really controlled the Chiefs. I'm like, both teams suck. And they both looked sucky. That was the feeling coming out of that game for me. Not that one team dominated the other, or they got railroaded. Ew.
The Giants scored 9 points in regulation and played terrible, and they still managed to find a way to win. It was weird because I was watching, obviously you could attest to this better than I could, but on television, I remember when they were going to halftime and the teams were filing off the field. I'm like, that's the quietest I've ever heard a crowd, particularly in New York. I'm like, the Chiefs fans are like, what the hell? And the Giants fans are like, huh, interesting. No reaction, it seemed like, on television. No one was happy or mad at their team.
No,
just kind of like, what did we just watch?
Well, on TV, after the touchdown, they showed that lady in the stands, and you would have thought it was the first touchdown they had scored all season with the excitement level they showed.
There was a little bit of excitement, especially late when there felt like there could be a chance or something or in those picks or whatever.
Right.
But the two guys at half, who I mean, if you were like, putting on a movie where you were going to cast two stereotypical Giants fans, that was it. Like, in the jacket that was original from the 80s, right?
Uh-huh. Black letters.
And, and had, champion sewn onto it, like a letter jacket, right? Like, looked like he'd owned that thing for a while. And looked grizzled, like they had just been Giants fans for a long time. And at the end of the half, they're like, well, lead in half, I guess that's pretty good. At least we're leading at half. It was just some consolation prize to them.
Even at that point, they weren't thinking it was going to last.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. No. They had zero hope that that game was going to ever come out. I go back. And we can talk some college hoops. Obviously, Missouri and K-State both. And we can get KU tonight here on A-10. But, for me, I haven't been able to put it, obviously, into words what I witnessed on Sunday. And then I try to go back and try to understand how the hell it happened. Because it was... But here's the thing, legitimately for me, there's a couple of things that I think stand out, Curtis, for why I think they're in this rut. And part of it is Andy Reid was, for the first time in a long time, did put a little blame at the feet of Alex Smith yesterday.
A little bit.
I'm not saying he heaped it on, but he put a little blame. For a guy that does nothing but defend Alex Smith and has been a strong defender of Alex Smith for years, right? Even in a year where he threw 16 touchdowns. Oh, he's our guy. He's great. He's a leader. This is how we always thought he played. He's like the off rhythm by this team is, that comes down to the quarterback. And Alex Smith had asked, I asked him after the game about that similar rhythm. And he, I think he confessed similarly that they just feel like they're out of sorts. So one, you could put it into the, maybe I've just been underselling how much Albert Wilson and Chris Conley mean to this team in general department, right? Like, maybe. Yeah. It's because they talked, for the first five games, when they were really cruising, Curtis, the one thing they kept saying is he trusts his guys. He believes, like, he has faith in them. And then Matt Derrick, who comes on with me sometimes at Sports Night and goes on with Kevin, did you see his stats on the yards, net average per play yardage? Like, if you're just looking for the, we think Albert Wilson and Chris Conley are minor factors in an offense because they have 500 yards and 250 yards, but do they make it go? Net yards over average per play. Albert Wilson, 1.72 yards. Chris Conley, 1.66. Tyreek Hill, 0.95. What do you think DeMarcus Robinson is?
I won't even hazard a guess.
0.03. DeAnthony Thomas? -0.19. He's averaging negative yardage per play, Curtis. Per play. And Alec, like, some of that is Alex Smith, but, like, you go back and watch that. Like, I went back because I was in the stands, right? And so it's not quite the same. Like, TV's a better view of a football game. So I have gone back and watched that game. Like, I put it back on, like, I'm a degenerate or whatever. Mm-hmm. But let's see it again from that, from a fresh perspective. And I, by the way, in no way take this as Alex Smith bears no blame in this, because he played really poorly in that game. And bears a fair shun of any game. Like, I don't care if the defense, if you thought they played meh, or if they've cost them games before this season, where I think they have. Any game in the NFL where we let up 12 points, it's on the offense to win it. We agree?
Yes.
You let up 12.
And you give up 9 in regular in four quarters. That's
on the offense.
That has to be a win. I looked at the stat on Sunday night. Since 1970, teams that allow 9 points or fewer in regulation win 95% of the
time. Exactly, yeah. That's on the offense.
Yeah.
That
also includes teams that allow 0, 3, 6, and 7. I haven't looked at exactly 9 points, but I bet it's 80%.
I'll bet it's high. I'll bet it's real high, Curtis.
Yeah.
There aren't that many 9-6 losses.
No.
And so, like, part of it was Alex Smith played poorly. He made several bad throws when guys were open downfield. But I think they're on the other end. I think Andy Reid sees that they're off kilter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows that they're out of rhythm, and they are. And that goes to Alex Smith for not being able to get them back in rhythm or not trusting the guys that are out there. But then I think what happens is, when it isn't working, Andy Reid then goes to the most basic version of his offense to try to find the rhythm, and teams know how to defend that. There were 11 runs on first and 10. 11 runs on first and 10. They went for like 2.5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
There's no creativity in that. There's nothing different in that. Every first and 10, if you hand it to Kareem Hunt, they know. No play action. No, like, there wasn't enough movement in there. And then on a lot of, after they got their 2 yards on first and 10, there was an unseemly amount of passes that were not Alex Smith checking down, but designed out passes to the outside of the field to DeAnthony Thomas or Tyreek Hill, and then the shovel passes got busted up. One went for a pick, one got busted up pretty quick. Like, I just think that they go to, when Andy Reid senses the offense is off, he just tries to, like, back to the basics, right? Let's go back to the basics. And I think that hinders them even further. Like, Alex Smith's in a rut, the offense is in a rut. Then Andy Reid is like, okay, let's just make it simple. They get deeper into the rut. Is how, yeah, I feel,
I,
like it goes.
I said yesterday that I thought, I spent half that game thinking that the Chiefs felt they could just play their basic game and win. And didn't sense any urgency. And the other half of the game, I spent thinking that they had no faith at all in their regular stuff, and they thought they had to do all kinds of crazy stuff to win. And I couldn't tell, what exactly does Andy Reid think his team has to do to win? I could never get a feel at any point in that game that they thought, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stick with this. They kept going back and forth from, we're just going to crush this team eventually, to, oh my God, we have to pull every stop out there that's imaginable.
When the 1-8 team let Shane Vereen throw a pass and it gets picked off, doesn't that stinky cologne stand out to, like, the waft of, like, oh, this team is so desperate. Oh, they just do anything for points. Travis Kelce designed pass line. No.
Hold my beer.
They're 1-8. You get to just do regular stuff because you're a winning team. And by the way, The AFC only has, like, go back through the standings. The AFC is going to have, like, five winning teams at the end of, like, right now.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of winning teams. The Chiefs
a 5-5 team. Buffalo's or Baltimore is right now the sixth seed at 5-5.
Yeah. Which means the Chiefs at 6-4 are one of five only winning teams in the entire season, because the AFC is down. So there are still, like, sugarcoat it. No, because the problem
is pretty good.
When the Chiefs were 5-0 and the other two teams were struggling, the Chiefs have done nothing but get worse, and the Patriots and Steelers have done nothing but get better. And those are the same. I don't care about anybody. Like, you can tell me about how Jacksonville's played or Houston, Baltimore. I don't care if any of them have played good or bad. The only two teams I care about and how they're playing are the Steelers and the Patriots, because they are the only two. Because we've talked about this before. Once Peyton Manning retired, you're down to two. There are now two teams that stand in your way. A team led by Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Ben Roethlisberger, the only three teams you've had to worry about for the last 20 years in the NFL, and standing in your way to the Super Bowl. That's it. And so the only two teams you need to care about how they're playing are the Steelers and the Patriots, and they're both playing really well.
Yes.
And you're playing awful, and you're letting them get ahead of you, and you're going to end up having to go through Pittsburgh, then through New England to get to the Super Bowl, and that is an impossible road.
Because,
that can't be done.
No, because the point Danny made yesterday was – well, the Chiefs appear to have it up and running at week five. They, you know, get up there and they've fallen back. Once the teams like the Patriots and Steelers get it going, it stays going.
Yeah.
You don't see those teams don't fall from 8-2 to 8-6.
No. They just roll to 14-2.
When they're up,
or
man,
13-3. Yeah, and I guess that's the question. Like, why do the Chiefs continue to get in a rut? Because there have
at
been
at some point.
There every year.
Yeah.
Every year there's some, like, was it the 1-5 start? That was when their rut was.
Two years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but then they get into, but they always go through some 4-5 game stretch where they play. Like, sometimes they sneak away with some games
two
in
and,
that
two
stretch.
2-5 down the stretch in 2013.
Yes.
Started 1-5 in
15.
Yeah, there's a rut.
Last year they finished 12-4. What was their worst stretch during that time?
I can't think offhand, but
I'll bet there was. I'll
bet
there
was
one where they lost 3-5 and, like, one was close.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I guarantee there was. Like, because that's – but why? Like, is it just – does it just come down to quarterback, right? Like, when you don't have an elite quarterback, you're more susceptible to runs.
Inconsistent. And that's –
yeah, sure.
Getting back to your comment on they started – they were 2-2 through 4 weeks and then were pretty strong from that point on.
So they stayed hot last year.
They stayed hot, but the 2-2 start. So that was a bit funky. You mentioned 1-5 in 2015. 2014, the stretch was losing 4 out of 5 after a 7-3 start. So they've had in 4 of Andy Reid's five years,
season.
They've had a stretch where they were 2-5 or worse, or a 6-game stretch where they were, you know, 2-5, 1-5, or 1-4, 1-5, and now they've lost 4 or 5 here. So.
And the way they're pacing, they're going to be a playoff team all those years.
Yeah. So
they're going to be in the playoffs all those years and have 2-4 or worse runs in 4 of those 5 seasons. Like, why is it? Like, so if it's just outs, like, when you look at those, you do have to start looking at common denominators, right? Alex Smith and Andy Reid are two things that have been a part of all of those runs.
Right.
Bob Sutton, though, has two. Nagy wasn't always the offensive coordinator, right? So let's not put it, like, if we're looking at it, it starts being common denominator. Who are the guys that are around for all of those same things? Justin Houston missed some games in there, right? Eric Berry's missed some games in there.
Injuries
they've been without
been
Wilson and Conley, sure, but they're a factor for every team, and we've gone over that before. The Patriots are without their number one wide receiver. They miss Gronk for games. They don't go through those stretches every year, right?
No.
It's not every year.
Let's kind of look at in 13, it was the defense. Allowing in those losses 27, 41, 35, and then 23. They allowed 31 in a win. So it was the defense primarily in 13 that kind of fell apart down the stretch. And that little stretch in 14, it was the offense, 20, 16, 14, and 12 in those four losses in 5 games. 2015, it was more the defense in that run, 31, 38, 36.
Oh.
Like, it was the first time in franchise history that they had allowed 31 points or more in 3 consecutive games. And then 18 and 16, they started getting together against the Bears and Vikings, but it was mostly defense in 2015. And last year in their stretch, what qualifies as a stretch, it was kind of a hodgepodge. They lost 19-12 and then 43-14. So they're really identifiable trait of last year's stretch. But this year, it's kind of it's primarily been defensively, but the offense clearly didn't show up.
And their losses, they're averaging this past week 15 points a game, probably. So yeah. Offensively. Now,
and their four losses, they've scored 13, 30, 17, and 9. So the offense has not really done done its job in one of those games. And the defense kind of did its job twice.
Yes, that's
so been a bit of a mix.
Well, and somebody had sent me a stat yesterday, and I went back and looked back through, and it made sense. Like in their first three losses this year, mm-hmm. it goes back the conservativeness of the offense, either with Alex Smith or Andy Reid, and realistically both, when they're struggling, is infuriating because in their three losses, 26 of 69 pass plays, so 38% went 0 to 2 yards downfield. That's a lot. Of 0 to 2 yards. In the game on Sunday, 16 of 27. That's two-thirds of your plays going 0 to 2 yards. You just have to be more than that. And I know that, that's part of their game, too. I'm not blind to that. That is part of the way that they play football, right? But when you're going back through and looking, I think it's the conservativeness together. I think sometimes they're Alex Smith gets conservative. I'm like, no, I think they both do. I think it's just
at different times, but yeah.
Yes, but like sometimes. when they're struggling, they try to go to this base, easy form, and that's when they're predictable. They're predictable when they're basic. And I don't mean get away from the basics, let Travis Kelce throw the ball 60 yards downfield. I mean, run stuff that goes slightly downfield.
Part of that is that in some areas they just aren't good enough. They don't appear to be good enough up front to just be basic and kick ass. And it's you mentioned earlier with Robert Wilson wasn't there and Chris Conley's Conley. Out. I'm like, let me tell you something. If the loss of Chris Conley and Albert Wilson
derail
wrecks your passing game, your passing game wasn't very good. You should be able to shake off those two guys. I'm not necessarily denigrating. I think Conley has some serious upside. Wilson doesn't seem to really fill up the stat page, but he does have a knack for making some big plays. He's a good third down drive extender guy. So there are they do have something to offer. But if they're out and suddenly you can't throw the ball downfield, but deep at once or twice in a game, then the problem isn't the loss of Conley and Wilson.
Which comes back to the whole Alex Smith part of the conversation, obviously, because when top five quarterbacks lose guys that catch 300 yards, it doesn't stop them.
No.
Some other guy catches those balls.
And he didn't have to be a Hall of Famer to be able to offset that. I mean, there are passing games that can at least continue to be effective. And with the last, 250 yards, but a lot of it was on one play against Dallas.
And no run game. So it's just constantly being...
Big, and I think that a lot of that to me just comes back to the line just has not been effective. Too many penalties. They had two nice runs that got called back because of holds.
But also, if you run two-thirds of your plays yesterday, Curtis, between 0 and 2 yards in the passing game, you know what that does? Makes people closer in the running game.
It does.
Because they don't have to go anywhere. They get to just be there.
Yep.
That's it. Teams have decided they can play you close to the line of the scrimmage. Yep. So either you can or you can't get past that numbers, but you better prove to some teams you can if you want them to respect the fact that when they were great this year, when Kareem Hunt was great, downfield passing was great, right? All that stuff kind of goes hand in hand. They couldn't just key in on Kareem Hunt. Balls went downfield. Alex Smith was burning them early. By the way, just a quick side note. When we were in New York, we're at the bar late and, sports debates start or conversations. And because obviously one of the topic of conversations that comes up from a number of people this week is whether or not the Chiefs should just switch to Patrick Mahomes, which I find personally a bit absurd because I don't remember a time where 6-4 teams decide to switch quarterbacks in the middle of the season. So, and I still think if you're saying best chance to win a Super Bowl this year, whether you think that there's a chance or not, I still think the best chances with Alex Smith. So, for me, I'm not there.
Right.
But, one thing that I didn't even think about, in all the conversation we had about Patrick Mahomes and, he was a losing quarterback in college. And like, oh, it's air raid and air raid quarterbacks don't succeed. Like some of the standard stuff that comes up and reasonable concerns, right? He's not as tall as some other guys. Mm-hmm. You go all through that. One that I had apparently just completely whiffed on and have now been brought to my attention by the guy we were with there in, like, we were with there in New York, Mike.
Guy's name Patrick.
There is not a single, not one, quarterback who played quarterback in the Big 12 that has a one singular playoff win. What? What?
Pretty amazing. Like, I knew Big Ten has been around for 20 years.
20 years, Curtis. They have a combined zero playoff wins. That's nuts, right?
Yeah.
Like Bradford, none.
The last guy who you could say played in this in the conference under any, you know, Big 12 that was a Big 12 school and played, you know, the Big 8, this would be confusing. Cordell Stewart, but it was a Big 8 then.
Yeah, I remember.
He hasn't played, but you have to go back to the Big 8 then.
Well, that was the first one. Someone's like, what about Cordell Stewart? I'm like, Big 8?
Yeah.
I'm saying Big 12 does not have a single playoff win to their entire name. I don't want to go through the list of conferences we could probably name that have a playoff win, including whatever one Carson Wentz school plays in. Are they Summit League? Summit League football? What do they play?
He doesn't have a playoff win, though.
Okay, but okay, you're right. But if he does this, let's say he gets one this year. But like,
yes.
If we're going through, I'm just saying that you're right. But if we start going through the list of conferences that have them, like MAC conference that Roethlisberger, like we start going through it, it's going to be real ugly in the last 20 years before you get to the Big 12 not having one.
I sense a K-Dog spreadsheet coming sometime this week.
That's going to be a little tough, though, because, like, you know, Andy Dalton didn't win, but Alex Smith has to win. He was a Mountain West quarterback at Utah, but now it's Pac-12.
Yeah, but the conference they were, like, I see.
In at the time.
In at the time. Because you could go to A&M, right?
Or, yeah, Mark Bulger has a postseason win. He went to West Virginia. They're in the Big 12. But they weren't in the Big 12 when he was there. So that doesn't, to me, doesn't count as a Big 12.
Agreed.
Big 12. You have to
have played quarterback in the Big 12.
Clearly define the criteria, and the criteria is had to have played quarterback in the Big 12, not for a current Big 12 school, or not for a school that
eventually
eventually it was in the Big 12, but was in the Big 8 before, in the Big 12, zero.
That's a bit scary. I did not like that stat when that came up. Like, oh no.
I saw you kind of put that out there. I'm like, I'm going to check this out
like,
Sunday.
This and doesn't
I kept going,
sound
I'm
right.
Like, I don't see one.
Like, it was a legitimate 35 minutes at the bar, like, going through every quarterback that played quarterback at all those schools. Like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, well, we'll wipe Kansas off the list immediately, so none of them have won playoff games. And then we'll just cycle down the list. Oh gosh, it was dark. It was a dark conversation. Like, by the way, what kind of dark conversation to have is that? Like, and that was the night before we're getting ready to get beat by the Giants. That was a rough 12 hours.
I'm sure.
It was not.
It's hard to not have fun in New York.
No,
you managed to surround yourself with enough misery to almost make a weekend trip to the Big Apple.
Kansas City fandom. It's its own. Well, since we're talking about that and the misery of fandom, we can talk about Missouri hoops, K-State, the little college basketball top next here in the program.